Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hi there, Julie. I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie.
We like to say more life with the girlfriends.
Yes, more life.
We're all about the more life.
Trying to just put that more life back into our life.
That's right.
And you know what that means? You know what that feels like?
Yeah.
There are sometimes life gets in the way and you're feeling, you don't feel energized by your life.
Right. You just want to get through something,
right.
Don't you?
And that's not more life.
That's just life. Like, that's just like,
just life with a girlfriend. It's not like, more life. Yeah. And so we're trying to put more life into it.
Yes.
And you're a psychotherapist. You've got online businesses. You're just an amazing person.
Oh,
you got
so
certificates
nice.
And everything. And, you know, and.
And you're an amazing person as well.
Oh, thank you.
And you're a teacher.
Yes.
And a coach. And you're like, to me, like the greatest person I know.
Right. And luckily we're family. So that's, we're
luckily,
biased.
Luckily
and so
we're
what?
Mother and daughter.
Yeah. You know, so we're biased. Who cares? Yeah. And you can find out more about us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Oh, there you go. Good. I was going to say, and you can spell biased, M-O-R-E.
Yeah, exactly. More. More life. More life. So we're going to have a big show today. A big show.
No.
I think I
like
say
the
that
Ed
every
Sullivan
time.
Show.
Yeah, exactly like the Ed Sullivan Show.
Ed Sullivan.
We're going to talk about what's been going on with us the whole week and about
our
how
life,
the, yeah, with
you
more
mean life with
yeah.
the girlfriends,
and we're going to talk about the national parks because they're celebrating their 100th year in operation. Awesome.
Been to a few.
Yeah, I think they're celebrating their. I mean, I'm looking up stuff, and it's like they've been the first national park was like way over 100.
Oh,
so I don't know why we're calling it 100, except it must be under 100 under the whole national parks
system yes.
of some sort,
right?
And we're going to talk about road trips today because we've been hearing about the Great American Road Trip.
Is coming back.
And, you know, you think about how beautiful and diverse our country is.
Yes.
And that's why the road trips are so awesome.
Yes.
You get to see it. And even in the state of Illinois, how diverse it is.
Right.
And we're lucky because we live in Northern Illinois and we have just these gorgeous state parks everywhere.
We have all yes,
yes, amen.
We are so
thank
lucky,
you know, and you can just say
like
we're taking a road trip today.
Within like a half hour from us, we have like five or six,
right? And we're going to talk about Elliot's Corner, what we learned from our dog this week. Learned a lot,
yes.
Like I always do. If I'm
we
open.
Always learn a lot from
yes.
Elliot.
And I want to share a quote from Shirley MacLaine about dogs during that time too.
Oh, good,
that
good.
Just made me. My heart warmed.
Aww.
And then we're going to finally have pillar talk.
Pillow talk.
And we're going to talk about the power of imagination and how that activates our belief and our faith. And we're going to bring up a little Einstein quote about that as
mm-hmm.
well.
I love quoting Einstein.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Really?
Excuse me, Julie. I'm going to quote Einstein now.
Yes. Oh, well... All right, if you're going to quote
heed.
Somebody, unless you're a hairdresser, I would just say, well, maybe not pick him as your as the person that you want to focus on. He kind
of
had
his hair,
huh?
Because of his hair.
Yeah, oh. If you're a hairdresser, you know, unless you're
he
the
has
kind of,
that stuck your finger in the light socket hair.
Yeah, he had that electric.
Yes,
and it you know it worked for him. It was it a did. Look, and I guess if you were a stylist, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw a picture of Einstein today, mm-hmm. you would know who it was.
Yes.
You wouldn't go, oh, he looks like so-and-so. No one looks like Einstein.
Right.
You know?
Right.
No one has that look. You see and go, that's Einstein. That's Einstein right there.
Yeah. Now, see, I don't understand why that look doesn't just, take hold. And, I don't understand the men with the ponytails and the big glasses and the real tight jeans. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that ain't Einstein.
Well, speaking of jeans, last
that
night...
That may be Weinstein, but not Einstein.
Speaking of jeans, last night, Doug and I were together, and we were going to go get a lottery ticket. You know, and I spend big bucks on lottery. I spend a dollar. I figure my chances are just as good winning on a dollar.
That's right.
And so we did an... And there, in Dixon, I think, we're having this huge... fishing tournament going on.
Right, yeah, the Cabela's fishing tournament.
And there was a guy in front of me that was getting his lottery tickets too. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't look like a Dixonian.
Really?
If that's what we call Dixon people.
Dixonian Illinoisan.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I... As we were driving around, if we got our lottery tickets, I saw the guy walking from the gas station all the way back to the river.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, that makes sense to me now.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, why did you think he didn't live here? I said, his jeans were too expensive. Uh-huh. I said, he had really good looking jeans for a guy that lived in Dixon, Illinois.
Right, right.
I'm not saying that. And the first thing Doug said to me was,
what?
He goes, that son of a bitch. No one should spend money on jeans. Who? What guy spends money on jeans? Get him at JCPenney like the rest of us.
Farm and Fleet. Excuse me.
Yeah, excuse me. Farm and
you
Fleet.
You walk into Farm and Fleet and buy your jeans.
Yeah. I go, I'm not judging the guy for having nice jeans.
Yeah.
I just noticed that.
He's not Dixonian.
He wasn't Dixonian. I don't remember seeing guys wear those kind of nice jeans. Right. You know, I'm like, good looking jeans, mister. Yeah. Yeah, he was in his 50s, you know. Mm-hmm. I was slightly turned on.
Yeah.
Just slightly. I'm like, you don't see a guy wearing good jeans like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So Doug was like, well, that's just a waste of money. What excuse foolishery.
Me. You're paying the lottery.
Yeah, I know. We're paying the lottery. I call it a dollar tax on my fantasies. On my imagination.
On your imagination.
Yes.
For that dollar, you get to have a whole lot of imagination fun.
I do. Because I could instantly be worth millions.
Right.
You know, not the longer time it's going to take me to develop everything else.
Yesterday, we decided, you know, you and I decided how we would divvy the money up and what we would spend it on. And then you and Doug, you told me last night, you know, imagine how you would spend the money and divvy it up. And,
yes.
And that if you won, you said you were only going to give him a little bit of money because you know that he would immediately piss it away.
Yes, because
he was insulted.
He was very insulted. I just said, listen, if I won, depending on the amount of money I won, and I would have a tithe first, you know, and set things up, and I really just couldn't give you money carte blanche because I would know you would just piss it away.
Right.
And he goes, no, I wouldn't. I go, yes, you would.
Yeah.
Because I see you do things on the end that things will get better.
Yeah.
Without you doing anything to make it get better.
Right.
And I just like... There's, you know, you just want, like, give you some.
So I
let that go away.
Yeah, you have to decide how much of this money you want pissed away.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it's like, okay. And then he was offended. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know?
Was it a teachable moment for him?
And he just says, pay off my debt and pay off my house. I'm like, well, that I could do. At least then you'd be debt-free and, you know, without a house payment. That would be something I could do for you. And do it joyously. I would do it joyously and have fun with it and so forth. But it was interesting because last night, I you know, he gave me his money to go buy him a lottery ticket. And I bought myself one. I said, you know what? I'm telling you, with these tickets, we're splitting halfway down the middle because I don't know which ticket's whose. We don't have any specific numbers. These are just quick picks. If we win these, we're splitting it. He goes, fine, because it just would have been too painful.
Oh, right.
You know, like, what if I gave him mine?
Yeah, right.
I'm saying? And that's just silly thinking.
Yeah. But you cleared it up. That was good.
I cleared it up. And I kept the tickets in my possession.
Yes.
But it's interesting because you see people who win the lottery and they go crazy in their head, totally protective of it, or totally, I don't know what the right word is, you know, but you have to treat it as like a gift.
Yeah.
It truly is a gift. It could be helpful to everybody you know.
Our house cleaner, Mona.
Yeah.
One of her best friends won how much?
$50,000.
Oh, just 50?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little more than that.
No.
But it's all
for
gone.
Sake of radio, $1 million.
Right. Oh, yes, right.
Let's exaggerate that a little bit.
But it's all gone now.
It's all
gone.
And
Mona's mad because this is my best friend and I didn't get $500 from her.
No, she let me borrow $200.
And she has to pay it back.
She has to pay it back, yeah. And I thought, well, that is interesting because for her, Mona could have been happy with $500 a gift.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
So you realize who you want to be in all this. But you also realize, well, I have to foster it. And it's just kind of fun playing with it.
Yes. It's fun playing with it, but it's also, highly interesting to see what kind of shadow
comes up. Of course.
In all of that.
Of course it is.
Right?
I know. And yeah, and we're talking like littler amounts. I can't even imagine winning. I can imagine.
Yes.
Hello.
Thank you.
I can imagine winning $300 million.
Exactly.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
It would be awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
I
you,
like
Lord.
It.
We'll take it. And I tithe off the first, no matter what. That's and right. Any interest I get, I tithe off that.
Right.
It'll be fun. It'll be great. So, yeah, I'm more conscious of my words, aren't I? I can't
You're
even
so
imagine.
Generous in yeah. your imagination.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I'm generous now.
Yes.
I do my tithing.
You are.
You know, I do my tithing now. Just because I want to and have fun with it.
Yes.
So let's go talk about now. Let's talk about
what
the road trips, the state, the national
yes,
parks.
Yes, the national parks that are so, celebrating their 100th year.
I'm going to do a little quizzing.
For me?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, first of all, when were the national parks started? What was the first national park? What do you think the first national park was? You're going to know this.
I would say out east because it was the first state. The other way.
Yeah,
it was out west.
Yeah.
In California.
A little more east.
In
what's the biggest national park you know?
Grand Canyon?
No, not so big. Not a big hole.
Yellowstone?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yellowstone National
I'm so
Park.
Smart.
I knew you'd get there. That was the first national park.
Oh.
And I just wrote my little notes down here. Ulysses S. Grant put that into place.
Thank you, Ulysses.
Exactly. And there are now 59 protected national parks.
So from the little tiny Yellowstone to 59.
And
now that's a road trip.
That's a road trip. It is.
If you took a year, you could do all of them, like five a month.
And what if you take your 5 years? You know?
That's true.
I mean, I think a year would be too much.
You have to take the whole year off.
Take the whole year off. But I would love to put that on my bucket list to see all the national parks.
Right.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
With social media and Facebook, there's all these pages out there where, you know, pages for different fans or different people who like, you know, Star Wars or different people like.
Fan pages?
Yeah, fan pages.
Is there a national park
Yes,
fan
who
pages?
Their goal is to... you know, their goal is to see all the national parks.
Oh my
gosh. And attract themselves. And I was listening to this one guy on the radio, and he was talking about his road trips. And he's part of a group who wants to step foot into every county in the United States. Every county. And I thought, well,
that sounds boring.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, here you are in Ogle County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Lee County.
There's some cool parts of Ogle County, but if you have to hit every one in the whole country.
It's going to be thousands.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 50,000.
I don't know.
Maybe not 50,000.
That's their dastardly, 5,000. Evil plan is to see all the counties in the United States in their bucket list. That means they're going to live to 120.
Yes. Well, this gentleman was talking about how he had planned out his party for his last county that he wanted to go see. And it's interesting because he wanted
Was it the last county?
Yes, the last of his
so
last county.
He was going to celebrate.
He wanted to celebrate. And it was up in Michigan. I think it was in Mackinac Island.
Oh, wow.
Mackinac County that he wanted to go and see.
Yeah,
and that's
beautiful.
Where he was going to have a party and celebrate. And he started doing this, and his wife, not with his kids, I don't believe it, with his grandkids. So his grandkids were the ones that would go on the road trips with them to go to every different county. And I thought that was so funny because I remember going on road trips with my grandmother, my brother and I. Had the best time ever. But I can't imagine if they said, okay, guys, we're heading to California, and on the way we're going to go through 100 different counties.
Right, easily.
And we may have to jigsaw around to get close and all this stuff.
I can just picture the kid, Grandpa, I don't want to go on a road trip. I don't want to see all those counties.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, can you imagine?
Because it's fun.
But maybe there's a way of making it fun. Because the one thing about counties, they happen every 30, 40 miles, right?
Yeah, and you can go to everybody has a courthouse.
Everybody
has
a courthouse. Now, they didn't say that they're celebrating by taking a picture in front of the courthouse.
Right.
That would be
cool.
A drag, too. Because here's the thing, you could go to this area here and you can be, like, right now, we're in the corner of Lee
in Ogle. Right.
So I could take one step
right.
and be in a different county.
Yes.
But if I had to go to two different courthouses,
no.
You know, we're talking a good extra 20, 30 minutes of my time.
Yes.
So I just don't know.
I mean, I'm not sure I'd make that my bucket list thing.
But
I say the national parks, yes.
Now I'm going to give you a, I know you're intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
There is a second national park.
The number two one?
Yeah. I want you to guess what it was. Now, it was only in it was only a national park. Let me give you some clues.
Okay.
Only a national park for 13 years. And we've already mentioned it in our show so far.
We did?
Yes. And it turned, and it's no longer a national park because the state.
The Grand Canyon?
The state said, we want it for our state park. Because it's such a beautiful island.
Mackinac Island?
Yes, Mackinac Island.
Was a national park?
Was the second national park.
No.
And it was the second national park because the senator from Michigan was tired of all these people coming and tourists coming and visited the island. And so they said, well, we better stay part of this for part of the island for, you know, beauty, for a park. Or it'll be just taken over by everybody and, you know, hotels mm-hmm. and homes will be bought mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So they made it was a second national park. And then 13 years later, the governor said, you know what? We want it as our state park. There's no reason for you. They had a fort there at the time as well.
They what?
Had a fort.
Oh, I can see
and
that.
And so in 1895, I guess it was 20 years. It was a national park, not 13. My math is a little off. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the fort was decommissioned, and Michigan got the whole island back.
You know what? Now I want to see Mackinac Island more than ever.
I do, too. I'm going this year.
Wow.
I'm going this year. I don't care. I really...
Do you remember when Ghost Hunters did Mackinac Island? Because it closes, you know, for the season.
Yeah.
And so right when it closed, the Ghost Hunters went over on a boat to see where the different hauntings were. But they had to leave early because a storm came in and they might have not been able to get off the island.
Oh, you're kidding me.
All the rest
no.
of the winter. And so they had to
no.
leave the ghosts behind. And
that's so funny.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. They would not have stayed there the whole winter.
And there's no cars allowed on Mackinac Island.
No.
Only buggies and bikes. And
well, I don't know if that's true. Is that? That's not true.
Is that true?
No, because you can take a car. They have a bridge, don't they, to Mackinac Island?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Now, Washington Island is different.
Yeah.
That's the one you can't.
Yeah.
I think. I'm not 100% sure about the car thing.
Okay.
But I think Washington Island is just up there in...
Yeah.
Well, I think it's in Wisconsin.
Upper Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, well, we'll
I'm not 100%
we'll
sure. I could be wrong.
And I could be right.
You could be right.
Yeah.
Well, what is that famous quote from The Big Short? Well, actually, it's from...
Did you just say short?
That movie, The Big Short, where they quoted Mark Twain. I'm going to quote somebody who quoted the movie, who quoted Mark Twain.
What did Mark Twain say?
Okay. It's not what you know. It's not you don't know that's dangerous.
That's right.
It's what you know that's wrong
that's
right.
dangerous.
Exactly. I don't know if it's...
I think we're paraphrasing.
Yes. But I heard that quote again... on some TV show, you know, right. and it's not what you don't know that's going to hurt you. It's what you think you know, but is wrong.
Oh, man, everybody's been there, right?
Oh, exactly.
I'm positive of this.
It's not right.
How'd that happen?
How did I be so wrong and not know I was so wrong?
Well, here's another little fact that I was telling Dad. I said, you know, we have an older gentleman in Dixon that has a Segway. Now, I've seen him several times now, and he's an old dude.
Yeah.
And he just goes up and down on his Segway, crosses the street and everything. And Dad said, didn't the inventor of the Segway die on his Segway? And I said, I think so. But, you know, I that's one of those things that I think I know.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
I don't know either, to be honest with you. I was going to look it up, but I'm
just
not going to.
This idea, though, of this, you know, he looks like a 75-year-old dude. Just zipping zippity doodah
around
on a Segway.
I'm pretty impressed with
it,
to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, and a couple of things. Number one, in Dixon, Illinois, you don't see somebody with a Segway.
No.
And number two, you don't see somebody old on a Segway.
They look scary.
Because, you know, what is that quote about? You don't see an an old wrestler or a dumb wrestler or no a gymnast.
Oh yeah,
I can't remember that. But
oh right, you don't see okay. You don't okay. You see a dumb. You can see a dumb gymnast.
Yes,
and you can see an old gymnast.
Right.
But you can't see a dumb old gymnast.
Right.
That, now
you can see a dumb guy on a Segway.
Yeah.
And you can see an old guy on a Segway, but you can't see a dumb old guy on a Segway.
So that phrase can go with a lot of things.
That's true.
Just think of what you can see a dumb shark catcher, and you can see an old shark catcher, but not a dumb old shark.
Joe, are you saying shark? You said short before too, and maybe I'm pronouncing shark wrong.
Short.
Yeah, short. But
I
know,
short.
We're from Illinois. It's short. No. You're short.
No, but that phrase.
You're too short, like Kevin Hart.
Yeah. So I guess you don't. There's not a lot of shark catchers out there, but shark. I know. Enthusiasts.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah, okay. We're kind of belaboring.
So, tell me right now on what's been one of your favorite road trips or most memorable road trips.
Oh man, memorable was when Norm broke his arm at work, and so he couldn't work for several weeks. So, I convinced him. Road trip.
Like, honey, we can go guilt-free from work, because that's the thing about working for yourself your whole life.
Yes.
There is just never a set time where you get paid vacations. You know?
Yes.
And so you think to yourself when you're starting your own business, oh, I can just take off whenever I want to.
Right.
Well, you don't get paid, first off, if you take off work, for the most part. Right. Let's just say, at least in trucking, right?
Especially in trucking.
Yeah. So here's the time I remember this time when Dad broke his arm.
Yes.
Greg and I were old enough to just take care of ourselves.
Right.
And you guys just took off.
And you worked, I think, for us.
Yeah. We did. That's right. We did.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I remember, so we decided to go to Arizona. And but on our way there, I remember seeing like a little sign with an arrow. It said Rio Grande. It might have been in Colorado. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I went, Norm, I've always wanted to see the Rio Grande. I mean, I heard about the Rio Grande, you know, from John Wayne movies and everything. And just the name itself, Rio means river and Grand means, I would assume, Grand,
big
river. So we followed the little arrow, and we came upon this little thing, and it was no bigger than a creek in Illinois,
what
I would call a creek.
Yeah.
And I went, well, where's the Rio Grande at, people? And it was, there was a motorcycle there, and us, and then there was this guy that I remember, he was just in one of those full body sleeping bags that like zips up all the way, so he looked like a mummy just laying on the ground. Couldn't see his face, and that was like a weird recollection, coming upon the Rio Grande being tiny at least there. I can't imagine. And then all of a sudden this person's just on the ground, just sleeping on the ground, zipped up. Like, I wanted to go like wake him up or take a stick and like, hey, dude.
I don't know if I would be brave enough to do that. I used to think that I could just get in my sleeping bag and sleep on the ground. But, you know, we've had bear sightings in Illinois.
Yeah.
Recently. And we've had cougar sightings in Illinois recently. And not...
Yes, ma'am.
That's a you, huh?
Thank you for calling me that. No, just...
And so all of a sudden you're going... Is it just safe putting my sleeping bag out on the ground?
Yeah. I mean, that's faith.
It is.
I would have thought my first thought was snakes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Or just bugs or, you know.
Or just somebody come and beat you in the head.
Yeah. You know, like, hey, dude, why are you sleeping in a sleeping bag?
Right.
And they're just trying to wake you up. They think you're dead, but they hit you in the head accidentally.
So that was that was an interesting memory on my road trip. And then we traveled from there to Mount Lemmon, which was really tall. And the reason we wanted to go there was during a meteor shower.
Oh, wow.
And so we were the only car on top of Mount Lemmon, which I think was about 7,000 or 8,000 feet.
Right.
Not sure now.
Right.
But it seemed really high.
Yeah.
And so it was just us at the top of this mountain and with this meteor shower, and we were playing Marty Robbins on a tape deck. That's awesome. That's how long ago it was.
I think you also said that you were listening to Art Bell at the time too.
Yes.
Which would have been awesome to
do that. Yeah, it was scary too. Yeah. So that was my, I guess, my most fun road trip moment.
We've had many road trips,
especially with Dad being an over the road trucker.
Because that's the thing. When Dad's an over the road trucker, when we were growing up, every gig is a road trip.
Right.
Kids, our load this week goes to Florida. Yay! This week we're going to Washington D.C.
Yeah.
Yay!
Oh, yay!
So it is. It's all a road trip.
Right.
But I mean, you and I took a road trip to Arizona once because you had a conference there.
Right.
And then we went from there to
Las Vegas,
which was a scary ride because
all those crosses,
the people dying on the road. And I couldn't figure
out. It's distracting.
It really is distracting.
Yeah. I guess I shouldn't say distracting.
It's distracting because you're heartbroken.
Yeah. You're heartbroken.
And the energy
humbling
of all this.
Right.
And I'm not sure if it draws more people in to do what they did there, or if you are reflective, going, "Oh, I got to be more cautious." I don't know,
right?
You know, I don't know why that's happening. You know, but also on that road trip, we took off in wintertime for us.
Yes.
And it was interesting because I was able to swim in Arizona in a pool. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember doing massages at your conference.
Yes,
I was so sore. I brought a massage table, lifting it up and down the motel.
And all we did was put a card on everybody's table.
Hey, one massage for $5.
You worked the entire time. I think you made like $1,000.
It was awesome, but literally,
and we had
I
a lot of
move.
Money to go to Vegas with.
Yes, we did.
We spent it all too.
Did we? I don't think we did.
We didn't.
No, I did probably.
I think we spent. Well, we recouped the price of the table.
Right.
I know that.
Yeah. That was the thing. We bought the table.
Yes.
Because I had just graduated.
Right.
And it was so funny because I felt so inspired that weekend. Like, oh my gosh, I could be a really profitable massage therapist.
Yes.
And I come back, put my little shingle up.
Yes.
And literally, I had like 5 clients. 3 were guys. And I was so uncomfortable. I remember having this one guy. He just kept putting my hand over his, he'd move my hand.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I just like, this is
not. Is this here or?
Oh, in Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was in our office.
It was in our office.
Okay.
I mean, the professional office.
Right.
You were seeing clients
as
a psychotherapist.
Right.
I thought I could be a massage therapist.
Yes. It worked out.
And it just didn't fly for me.
Yeah. It's hard.
Because you can't discriminate. I'm not going to say I'm a massage therapist only for women.
Right.
But so then I just chose not to be a massage therapist.
Right.
Not saying all guys who want massage therapy from a 25-year-old girl wants anything but massage therapy, but it was a little uncomfortable for me.
I remember I remember a guy coming out of the room after you had massaged him.
Yeah.
And his hair was all tousled. Yeah. He was like, and he went to the phone and he was calling his wife. He goes, "I just had the best massage."
She's like, "What?
Say what?
Oh, she's the daughter of somebody at the conference, so don't worry." So I think that was a protective thing, you know.
Well, should we have been even concerned that the massage school you went to was in California, in Northern California, and it was nude?
Well, it was clothing optional. It was very holistic. I just assumed
nude. You say holistic.
Well, I thought it for sure when clothing optional meant clothing, you could opt to wear clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But not very many people did.
Meaning nobody.
Nobody. Because you would feel like you were really. Well, I mean, people wore clothes outside.
Right.
But like in the pools, no one wore clothes.
In the classroom, did they wear clothes?
Everyone wore clothes in the classroom.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't naked 24/7, thank God. I wouldn't have been able to handle that.
Well, that's because you and I, we knew it was going to be clothing optional.
Yeah.
And so I gave you a safe word.
Yes.
When you left that when you, if you called me and you said, "Henry."
Yes.
I would know
that
to come get you.
That would be our dead dog.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And you said, and you told me about this place. It was your idea to go. So I felt like, what are you doing now? Freaking me out about this, huh? But you go, they're going to keep you away from protein. Yeah. So you're going to be like, your mind's going to be a little bit not so weak.
The door to your mind is going to be open.
Yeah.
Weak. No protein, no meat.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I thought about going back again later on. And then I just thought to myself, it probably wouldn't be nearly as good as the first time.
Right.
Because the first time you're too shell-shocked, you're just like, oh, great. But then,
you did learn some really good massage skills.
Oh, yeah. It was a professional massage school.
You are a great massage therapist.
Oh, thank you. But it was a professional massage school. I mean, and also, it was intensive.
Right.
And you could go back and get more certification and all that stuff. So
remember the Watsu? It was in the pool and you, and it's like a movement that you do. You're the massage therapist, but you're holding somebody.
Yeah, water massage. Yeah.
And I remember you said a guy came up to you and said, "May I Watsu you?"
Yes. Yeah, you're bringing up all these memories. Yes, I remember that. That was wild. I remember giving a Watsu to a guy, and
being Watsu'd.
Yeah, being Watsu'd. I felt weird when a guy wanted to Watsu me, but I let it happen anyway.
I understand that.
But when I had to do a guy, when we were learning, and you know, I Watsu'd a guy, and he was too lean. Mm-hmm. He was 6'1" and didn't have any fat on him. Uh-huh. He didn't float. Literally, there were times he started laughing because like, there's this one move you have to like move around their body. Uh-huh. And I had to go under. I thought I was going to drown. And so he's got his eyes closed. And I go under the water and I come back up. And, and he starts laughing. I said, "You just don't have any fat on you. You're not floating at all. I'm just holding you with all my power." And he starts laughing and goes, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "No problem here.
Jill, did you have any trouble floating?"
Shut up. The answer is no. I had zero problems floating. People wanted to Watsu me all the time. I just sat there in the water. I just floated.
I want Julie. Yeah. I want to Watsu Julie. Yeah. She floats.
She floats so nicely. Okay, so I was going to say two things about my road trips at my national parks as we conclude this part of the radio show and move on to Elliot's Corner and Pillar Talk. But so Greg and I used to go a lot with Grandma Peters and Aunt Irma, and then also to Aunt Ruthie and her husband, Uncle. Mm-hmm.
What's his name, Joe?
I can't think of his name. Isn't that funny?
Uncle Joe.
I don't think it was Uncle Joe.
No.
Ruth Jim.
And Jim. Close.
Close. You were close. The J word.
Yes.
And we went and saw, went to Colorado, went to the parks there. We went to Utah. They were great. Saw the Grand Canyon, went to the Grand Tetons. We went to California, saw the, Petrified Forest. I mean, we went everywhere with them. It was awesome, and it's funny because now that I'm older, it's like, I want to see them again because I don't remember them very much. I know.
The only thing I remember about that one road trip with you and Aunt Irma and Aunt Ruthie and stuff is there's a picture of you in front of like a cabin and you're wearing long socks.
Yeah.
Like tube socks, but long tube socks. And you're wearing thongs.
I'm sure I was not.
You were wearing thongs with long tube socks. I'm still traumatized by that picture.
Because you know that I could not get away with that. Here. I was rebelling against you at that stage. Poor fashion sense. That was my rebellion. Mom's not around. I'm going to wear tube socks and flip flops. Yes, that's for sure.
Thongs. I guess people call them flip flops now.
Yeah, thongs nowadays are.
Oops.
Not bad.
Yeah.
They're things up your butt for underwear, But the most recent kind of fun daily road trip was when Doug and I went to see the lighthouses around Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised how fun that was for a day trip.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long. Mm-hmm. 10 hours we took, and it was a great day. We talked about how revitalized we felt that whole day. Mm-hmm. And when we came back, it just was a nice trip. And it was warm once you got inside the state, but near the lake it was beautiful.
Always, always cool near the lake.
Very cool indeed. So I say, everyone, plan your road trip this summer.
Greg's going on a road trip.
It's interesting because when we were younger and now I go on cheap butt road trips. That's what I call them. cheap ass road trips. Yeah. You get in a car, take some food, figure out where you're going to stay when you get there, all that stuff. He's running a 39-foot camper.
Bus camper.
A big thing.
Yes.
And him and his family is going with, I think, her sister and her child. And it's going to be this huge affair. And it's like, wow, they're going in style, going to Colorado, I think they're going to Wyoming too. I'm not sure.
I think they're going to go to the Yellowstone maybe. That'll be a lot of memories, though.
Oh, a lot of memories. Mm-hmm. Most.
And a lot of hassles.
And most of their kids won't remember because they're just a little too young. A little too young.
Right.
But that's what they love to do. So I'm proud of them for starting that tradition early enough.
Yes, yes.
I remember this one farmer who I know, friend of Quinn's, Doug's daughter, and every summer, once the fields are planted and before harvest, they take a month off and just travel.
Yeah, the whole family.
They had three sons, you know. Right. And even as adults, they would do that. And and all of a sudden, I was just like, that's such a cool tradition to have for a family.
Yeah.
So start the road trip tradition. You know, start the road trip tradition.
Absolutely.
Girlfriend, you keep looking at me like you got to drink some water. Okay, well, just go ahead and cough. I'll talk a little bit, and we'll see where it happens, or, you know, and so forth. But so I want to move on to Elliot's Corner.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me.
Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Well, here we are with Elliot's Corner. We're talking about
your ukulele playing,
thank
girlfriend.
Thank you.
And guess who's getting a ukulele today?
Normano.
Normano.
You know,
Father's Day. It's an early Father's Day present.
Yeah, I know Amazon is, you know, Amazon is a great place, a store. And I know sometimes people are like, oh, they just sell too much stuff, you know. And it hurts local businesses. But the idea that something can come on a Sunday is awesome.
It's so wild.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, I understand the local business thing, and we try to support local businesses.
Right.
But you know what? Amazon, you're terrific.
Yeah, I know.
You're just terrific.
Get my little text like, hey, you got it today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But we're actually missing one package.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have to deal with that come Monday.
Yeah, we're missing something.
Yeah, like, where's that at?
Yeah.
Where's my Amazon package at? So, kind of interesting. So, anyway, back to Elliot's Corner.
Elliot's Corner.
Yes. And thank you for liking my ukulele play. Yeah.
And thank you for loving my Elliot.
You're welcome. So,
our little guy that got kicked out of doggy daycare.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was kind of interesting because last week we talked about crows and how crows like to gift people.
Yes.
The idea of gifting.
Right.
They like to gift people things when they feed them and give them water
and
whatever.
And I started getting crows this
week.
We're
much more conscious of the crows coming to our
yard. And there was one on the porch, and I was like, is it a gift? Is he going to gift us?
And Elliot just went ballistic.
When he saw the crows?
Yes. And the crow wasn't afraid. He was like, yeah, you're inside, I'm outside. Hey, you're my friend. We're making a connection here.
Right.
Because, you know, crows have the biggest brain for their bodies.
Yes.
You know, proportionate, they're like the smartest birds, I guess. If I'm not mistaken.
And when they saw
they got
the
big
crows,
birds, big brains.
It was murder.
A murder
I
of
love
crows.
Saying that.
And so,
do we know what that? You should tell people that
a gaggle of crows is a murder.
Is a murder.
Yes.
It was murder.
A murder of crows. And there's a crow right now.
Hey, there is a crow.
Hi, crow.
Hey.
And so, Elliot, hope is not crow blocking us in some sense because he just goes ballistic when he sees the little crows out there.
I know.
So I'm going to train him differently to love the crows,
to
welcome
gifted.
Them, and to be so we can be gifted.
That's right.
But I did notice there was a lot more gifting on your car.
Yes, on my window.
On your window. So there's a give and take here. You want that, but if you want the crows gifting you stuff, they're going to gift you stuff in a lot of different ways as well.
You're going to have to take the good with the bad.
So Elliot got this really good haircut and grooming session.
He got groomed.
And when he's done being groomed, he literally looks like a show dog.
He's so beautiful.
He's puffy and like a big cotton ball.
Yeah, he's darling.
He's got a good blowout.
Yes, he has a good blowout.
he's just beautiful.
We go to the same place for grooming that we go for training. And this is it's like in the woods. It's like two stories.
Right.
And these are two old friends.
Right.
Literally, they knew each other from when they were kids.
Yeah.
And they're both like 84, 85. Right. They're both girlfriends.
Right.
And the one girlfriend does the grooming and the boarding, and the other girlfriend does the training.
Right.
And the grooming and the boarding happens on the lower level. The training happens on the lower level. And they both have apartments or units on the top level.
Right.
And Mildred, she's a real cougar. She's 85, but her boyfriend's like
in his 60s.
He's like 60, yeah.
Yeah.
And but so we take on that side to go get him groomed.
Right.
And we've had issues before when he comes out. And they'll say, you let him go too long.
Right. They criticize us for not taking care of them as well. We should.
That we should. They'll give you a comb.
Right. Look, that's a clue. Here's a comb for you to really work on him, because he gets matted real easily because he doesn't shed and he's got longer hair.
Right.
And so he came out looking real pretty and got a comb. That's cool. Yeah. For a reminder, hey, you guys keep up with him, okay?
Right.
And then literally.
Can I say though, I do brush him every day.
Of course you do.
I do.
But you brush him with the soft side.
I do, because he doesn't like the hard side.
Yes, I know, because it works. You brush him with the soft, fun side, and he's like, oh, this just feels like a massage.
Yeah.
This is nice. But you get the real side.
I let you do the.
Yeah. And he's just like, nah, I hate this, you know. And so then literally the next day, the owner of the playing stay where he used to go twice a week but got kicked out, takes him.
She said, I'd like to take him.
With he lives near us. She's
got four dogs.
She's got four dogs, and one more dog in the mix ain't a big deal for
her. No.
And
Elliot, she loves Elliot.
Oh, and Elliot loves her in an embarrassing way.
Yes, in an embarrassing way.
Yes. And so she took him, and she sends me a picture of a video, what they're doing. And they're running by the creek, by our lake. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to be filthy.
And he just got groomed.
The day before. And I was like, well, you know what? His fun is worth it.
Yeah.
His good time is worth it.
And she says, don't worry. They're going to get dirty, but I've got the hose.
I got the hose. I'll bathe them before I drop them off.
Yeah.
And so she bathed them.
But
she also gave me a text saying, oh, by the way, Elliot and Katie Lou, his girlfriend, got into some cockaburrs.
Yes.
And little green dots.
Yes.
And they're just not coming out of his fur.
Right.
And we're talking about hundreds of them.
He looks green.
He looks green. And so...
And guess who gave us a comb that day?
She did. She's like, here's a good comb for you to work on. They'll come out.
Everybody's giving us combs.
We have combs.
Yeah.
We're not.
You look like we're combless.
Yeah. We're not. I mean, am I ashamed by my not having combs?
Yeah.
I mean, no, we have combs in the house. We'll deal. And she goes, no, take this comb. It's a better comb for him to get the stuff out. The teeth are real close together. I'm like, okay.
And by the way, he's going to go to see Linda today.
I know. And we don't have all of them out.
We don't have
the. So we got to take care of that, you know. So very interesting. So, yeah. So here's kind of what I learned from Elliot.
This week.
It's okay to go and spend good money on getting beautified.
Getting purtified.
Even though the next day, you're going to get all messed up.
Life invites you to play in the creek and get cockleburrs.
In some ways, it's like, it's okay to say yes to life.
Yes.
And yes to get dirty.
Yes.
Even though you just spent good money on a good blowout.
That's right.
You know? So
still say yes to the life and the cockleburrs.
Exactly. So if I got a good blowout the day before and I got offered for a motorcycle ride or a ride in the convertible, I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes. Because
that's what we learned. Elliot's Corner this week.
Don't say no to life. Say yes.
Say yes to life.
To more life.
Say yes to the cockleburrs.
And maybe next time I might not spend $50 on a blowout.
And you know what? There's always a free comb involved. Somebody's going to give you a comb.
Can I just say one thing, though?
Yeah.
I don't understand this. I'm more than willing, or you're more than willing, to spend $55 or $50 on a blowout for Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, I hate spending more than $20 on a haircut for me.
I know.
I think maybe I don't get it, but I thought if I was going to be a hairdresser, I would literally only work on animals.
Yeah.
Because people are willing to spend
good
money for their animals to get their haircut.
I know.
But I'm like, my hair grows so fast, just give me a $12 haircut.
Your hair does grow fast.
It does grow fast.
Thank God.
Yeah, really. Because this time my trim was not a trim.
No.
I kind of closed my eyes too long and fell asleep.
Yeah.
Which has happened more than once.
Yeah. It's an oops haircut.
Well, when your hair's got a little bit of kink to it, when she pulls it straight and it's wet, I'm like,
longer.
It's longer. I'm like, that looks long enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, bzoop.
It dries up.
I'm
and
like,
it,
whoa.
Yep.
I liked my medium length hair and now I have short hair.
That's right.
Oh, well. Oh, well. Hey, girlfriend, are you ready for a little pillar talk?
Sure am.
All right. We literally have about 13 minutes for Pillow Talk.
And I love Doris Day.
Pillow Talk. Pillow Talk. So we're going to talk about the quote from Einstein. Do you remember what it is?
Imagination. Well, Facebook reminded me.
Yes. Facebook said, hey, Christine Marie, here's a memory for you. Here's one of your old postings.
And it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, it was a quote from Einstein.
Right.
And it said, imaginations is a preview of coming attraction.
Of your life's coming attraction. Your imagination is the preview of your life's coming attraction.
And so we put down, what are you imagining?
And then what have you imagined?
And that was very important.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting because we got people talking about what they're imagining.
For, that's right.
And what they hope for. And one person also wrote down, I imagine a lot of stuff. I got to be really careful.
That's right. I could get in some deep trouble.
I could get some deep trouble. And I love that phrase where if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you got to do is stop digging.
That's right. Get rid of the shovel.
Throw that shovel away. That's kind of how it is, isn't it? So what's interesting is this idea that your imaginations, you know, your inside picture of what you want your life to be,
mm-hmm.
the clear, and it has to be clear, mm-hmm. the clearer that picture becomes, the more you know where you want to go,
mm-hmm.
where you're heading, and if you're off track, how to get back on track.
And truly, what I like to say, it's an inside out job. A lot of people go, if I just had this, then I'd be this.
And I'd feel this way.
And then, but really, it's just the opposite. You have to feel it and imagine it. And really focus.
Right.
Focus is so important.
Right. And focus is very important, but what also is very important is to know that if you're not aligned inside first with what you want,
mm-hmm.
you may attract it into your life, but it doesn't typically stay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been times that I have not done my internal work and things have come to me that I've wanted,
mm-hmm.
but the time wasn't right and it didn't stay.
Right.
Because it wasn't mine yet to have. I didn't do the internal work. I didn't become what needed to become to keep what I wanted to keep it.
Right. And same thing, I think, with lottery winnings.
Oh, exactly.
You have to be really aligned.
To keep it.
Yes.
And
Otherwise, your Rolls Royce will be sitting up on blocks in your front yard.
Because you can't afford to change the tires.
That's right.
All that stuff. So you have to just take the time to really go deep and go, mm-hmm. what do I want to imagine for my life
mm-hmm.
the next 6 months, next year? And if you miss the timing, just go, oh, I was off with the time date,
mm-hmm.
with the date. No big
mm-hmm.
deal. I'm still heading that way.
Mm-hmm.
And life can surprise you. I mean, life can get better than you ever thought it could be. But you still have to have this internal vision of the essence or the qualities that you want to have.
Right.
And how to then go about feeling it, believing it, knowing it,
mm-hmm.
and then getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we all have dreams.
Yes.
We all have things that we want. Like one of the ladies that responded to that Facebook post said, I want to be in post-production.
Right.
I want to be able to have enough money to fund my vision and also have a salary.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, we all have those things that
yes.
we want to really highly imagine.
Exactly. We do. And then have the belief that no matter what, we know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know, if we believe we're coming from a place of victory, how then do we behave?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing. You know, the Bible, it talks about faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a lot to different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, faith is an active.
It is.
It's very active anyway. It's not just flat. Oh,
no.
I believe.
Yeah, got faith.
No, do you believe?
Right.
And you want to be honest as well, because
mm-hmm.
I was reminded, I was hearing a story about this one woman who, excuse me, she wanted a specific job and the market wasn't really great. And she wrote down in her card, forgot, I need this with this salary. I want a car. I want 10 minutes from home. And she said in there, she goes, I believed that I've already received it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when someone asked her, oh, do you have that job? Yeah, I got the job.
Oh, where is it?
Yeah.
Where do you work at?
Oh, I don't know where it's at yet, but I've got the job.
I've got the job, right.
So you walk this fine line of believing.
Right.
But you don't want to be, you know, like a liar.
No.
Or Pollyanna.
Right.
And people going, well, you don't have a job yet.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I know it's here.
Right.
I know. I'm coming from a place of victory. I know,
right.
that this will come to be.
Right.
And also, I remember way back when we were doing we were first introduced to the law of attraction. We heard it, we knew it by many forms,
right?
But specifically, law of attraction, we right. were being trained for that. We met a marketer who I afterwards, after dealing with him, I felt that he really law of attraction me.
Right.
Meaning.
And you that became an actual verb for you.
For I did.
Hey, don't law of attraction me.
Yes, because I felt that he had an image, but he really wasn't aligned with it because he was promising stuff that he couldn't deliver.
Right.
He didn't have what it took to back it up.
Right.
But he kept saying it, and I kept believing him until it wasn't, and I don't know if it, you know, and so I attracted him into my life, and then you get this big horrible circle
right.
where you're just, you feel like you're to blame for everything.
Right, right.
And we called that, there's no such thing as law of attraction guilt. We can't, we just got to get rid of that.
Right.
Because that can make you crazy.
Crazy.
And when you go into that place of faith, what you go is, it may not have happened yet, but I know, like I know, like I know,
right.
this is going to happen.
Because there's patience involved. There's time yes. involved.
And there's no learning what you have to learn to get the job done.
And to keep it.
And to keep it.
You want to keep it yes, this time.
Exactly. And
one of the ways to keep it is when you're imagining something, add a little, and it came to pass.
Yes.
And it came to pass.
We have a mission statement that we write, and it's kind of like a vision board, but it's just on a paper that I've typed out. And there are so many things on there that have come to pass.
I know.
And I take them off, but yet I want to remind myself, hey.
This came to pass.
This came to pass.
Yes.
So I almost want to have a mission statement
right.
of things I'm believing for right. that have not come to pass.
Right.
That I'm using my faith to make them come to pass.
Right.
And then like a reminder board. like,
of all
hey,
this that came to pass.
All those things that came to pass. Like the San Diego trip that I took with Greg just recently. I mean,
that was on our mission statement.
Yes. And I had no...
We had no idea how
said,
that was going to happen.
I don't have any idea how this is going to happen. I'm leaving it up to you. And I'm gonna believe like I'm going, though. I'm mm-hmm. going to believe like I'm going. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea. And it was one quick mention to Greg.
Yes.
Which I never thought he would go or didn't know if I should even mention it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I need this. Let's go for the weekend.
And let me handle it.
And let me handle it. I'll take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And within a moment's notice, he got the last hotel room.
Yeah.
And he got the flights that we could do. And it was perfect.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And the idea that he took care of it and
yes.
I took care of my end.
Right.
And we had a great time. You know, we had a great time. And I think that's the thing, too. A lot of people are like, well, I want this to happen, but I want it to happen to be for free, you know?
Yes, exactly.
You know, be abundant enough that you can
yes.
pay for stuff.
Yes.
You know, you can pay for this stuff to happen. And I think that's the thing. So it is this fine line of believing and knowing and having faith that this will come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Believing coming from a place of victory, mm-hmm. acting as if it is here.
Right.
Sometimes we want these jobs. We want these businesses of mm-hmm. our own business. They require you to be responsible for mm-hmm. a business.
And I like what you're going for because, like with this woman you're talking about that wanted the job, everything that she wanted, she was in alignment for. She was
right.
trained for this job.
Yes.
And so the things that we're imagining, it's if it's in our realm,
right.
are a stretch.
Right.
You know, what do we like to say? That it's... Not out of sight, but just a bit out of reach, but not out of sight. It that is, you know, a more closer alignment imagination-wise.
Well, and know that you'll have incremental steps.
Right.
I was listening to this one man talk about how he has a vision of having a 50,000-seat amphitheater in some
right.
sense.
Right.
And he goes, but first then I should build a 10,000-seat one.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Let's not build the 50,000-seat one yet.
Right.
Let's build the 10,000-seat first. And so you realize there are just still these incremental steps.
Right.
And along the way, completely open for a miracle to happen.
100%.
A big miracle. But I was thinking, I'll bring Doug in because I know he's not listening.
Does he ever?
Yeah, he does sometimes. No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
which is great because I can talk about him then.
That's right.
You know, when we would talk about winning the lottery and what we would do with the money. And, you know, he's always like, I want a storage unit because I don't want to work. You know, I'll let the storage units take care of me. And, And I'm like, okay. But yet I know people who have storage units that are literally are there every single day.
But like our friend Nancy, she owns a lot of storage units, but she's there every single day.
And she says, you know.
She also owns a car wash.
She owns a car wash. Things that everybody thinks that this would be so nice to own. They just, no, you don't have to be there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she works 10 hours a day.
Well, she had surgery and she had to have, she came home, she went and had surgery. Had some guy there for 3 or 4 hours and came right back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not working.
No. And it's a different kind of work.
Right.
But you and your, and I always make fun of him by saying, so you tell me you want to win money or you want to have businesses so you don't have to work anymore. I go, just right now, live off the business you have, buy a camper and live near the river. Because that's really the only way.
Right.
The more stuff you have, the more you have to look after.
I know.
Nothing is a free ride in some sense. Yeah. And you don't want it to be.
Right.
You want to be blessed. At least I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing.
Right.
That's the whole point.
It's the whole point. You're blessed to be a blessing.
Yes. And so
this are a blessing, darling.
Look at your imaginations. Get clear on what you really want and play. Knowing that your imaginations are the previews of coming attractions. And I will admit
I'm going to have another Einstein quote next week.
Awesome. So please go to our blog, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Get our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And
to go to our Facebook page.
Yes, Christine Marie and Julie, Facebook. All right, everyone.
Okay, you know what, Jules?
What?
I love you, and it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.